Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Bishop, 12th Apostolic College Sabbatarian Congregation on South of 12th Hour of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 24th, 2017, or it's 8/28/2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Yahshua Saves. We have heard a joyful song, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Spread the gladness all around, Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Bear the news to every land, on this grief and cross away, on the tears of Yah's command, Yah's will save, Yah's will save. Walking on the road of time, Yah's will save, Yah's will save. Help to send us far and wide, Yah's will save, Yah's will save. Sing ye hymns of the sea, echo back the ocean chain, and shall keep her to glory. Yes, we say, yes, we say. Sing above the battle strife, yes, we say, yes, we say. By his death and endless life, yes, we say, yes, we say. Sing it softly to the gloom, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph over the tomb, yes, we say, yes, we say. Hear the wind, the mighty voice, yes, we say, yes, we say. Let the nations now rejoice, yes, we say, yes, we say. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. Lift our song up to victory. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Okay, let's do Acts, Acts chapter 4. This is Gentiles part 5. We're going to start this, and it will be Acts chapter 4, but we're going to start, actually, let's start with Acts chapter 1. And let's read that. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Yahshua began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, unto whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being a seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of Yahweh, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with the water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I should do better than that. I should say, saying, Yahshua, because after all they knew his name. And wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of the Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, that's in a very important scripture there, verse 7, Acts chapter 1. His disciples asked him a sincere question. Now, why do you think that Yeshua chose not to answer them directly? Well, it's important to know. It's not for you to know the seasons. Okay, well, you know, over there in Matthew 24, it talks about some situation there about the last day. Let's look at about 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, Yeshua had already told him in Matthew, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So look for a future time when the world will develop into a situation similar to that of the Noah's time. For it says in Matthew 24:38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master doth come. So apparently Yeshua, he knows the hour that he is to come back. And that hour, definitely, we know it, is in the 12th hour. And we're in the 12th hour since 2000 and at least 2003, technically. We've been in, technically, 2002, which I started the Passover. When we begin the 12th parabolic hour, alright, in Matthew 24:43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, what does it mean by that? Yeshua is talking here. Matthew is recording it. He said, therefore, be ye also ready. Because he said, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, Brother Johnson identified the 11th parabolic hour from 1970 to 2003 with his ministry at the Gilead Center in the Kermit, Texas, and he was in charge of for 33 and a half years from 1970 to 2003. And he identified the last hour as the 11th parabolic hour, as did his predecessors also from 1844 on. His predecessors that finally hooked on to the parabolic hour that they were in, finally decided that we're in the 11th parabolic hour, starting in 1930 with V.T. Hartog and the Shepherd's Rod, and then Ben Roden continued that theme on, and then Brother Johnson continued that theme on, that we were in the 11th parabolic hour, and that was the last hour before sundown, before the 12th hour strikes. And yet Yeshua said in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in the day? Work while you have the light. Well, all the ones that I just mentioned they taught that the 11th hour was the last hour of the day, and that whenever the 11th hour was over, that was the daylight was also over with. But Yahshua said there's 12 daylight hours, not 11. That's in John 11:9. Okay. So it says there in Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Alright? So now we are at the place where I have identified this faithful and wise servant. And as being the antithetical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. And so when you can identify this antithetical Elijah when he comes, then you find out who this faithful and wise servant is here in Matthew 24:45. I have identified this faithful servant. He's already come. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Okay. So I just read to you Matthew 24:47. I'm going to read that again. Verily I say unto you that he, whoever this faithful and wise servant is, whom his Yeshua, our master, hath made a ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Now master chooses a servant that understands present truth and the enrolling of the scroll, and that is following the ordained system of true worship, and that is teaching only what the Holy Spirit gives him to teach. And so this master, what they call the Lord over this faithful and wise servant, which would be Yahshua, he knows who that servant is. So, and he says, and then that servant, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Okay. Now, this antithetical Elijah is already on the scene, and he is performing his vows, and he is teaching the people that are following him the truth. He's giving them meat in due season, but Yahshua hasn't returned yet. The master has not returned yet. But it says when he does return, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now keep in mind, as the apostles asked the questions there, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? Well, see, Yahshua has already come. And they believe that he has come to stay. That was 2,000 years ago. The disciples believed that he was there among them, setting them up as his under-shepherds. And so they believed that he was there to stay. And so they were wanting to know, well, when are you going to get about restoring the kingdom of Israel? You see the temple up there. It's all torn down. It's been torn down since 586 years ago, 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar came down and sacked the temple and took the tribe of Judah into captivity for 70 years, from 586 to 535 B.C., says that temple has been laid in ruins ever since. Says, are you here? When are you going to restore that? All right. And Yahshua said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. So it's not for you to know. But it is for the right person to know at the right time. And that will be pointed out through the prophecies when that will be. So he's telling them, he already told them over there in Matthew, he then told the apostles, the 12 apostles, he's already then told them. He said in verse 44 of Matthew 24, he said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Well, you see, the disciples there had already decided that in Matthew 24, verse 1 through 3, they have already decided that Yahshua was going to leave them and go back home, go back to heaven, and then come again the second time. They've already finally realized that, and so they asked the question in Matthew 24, verse 1. And Yahshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, when we read this, we used to interpret that as being the temple itself. But the temple was already thrown down. It was in 586 B.C. So he said the buildings of the temple. Okay. He didn't say the temple because the temple wasn't there. As far as I understand, the temple that was thrown down by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. And Yahshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay. So he's telling here in Matthew. He says, you're going to have to look for the signs. That take heed that no man deceive. That's the first thing he told them. That no man. For many shall come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, Yeshua, and shall deceive many. So there are going to be those that come along claiming to have inspiration. They're going to be claiming to be the prophet Elijah. They're going to be claiming to be that prophet Elijah. Or they're going to be claiming to be the Messiah himself. And then he goes on and tells them, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, wasn't the disciples delivered up to fulfill exactly what Yahshua was telling them here in Matthew 24:9? He was talking to them directly back then, 2,000 years ago. This met its fulfillment back then. Okay. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Now this all happened 2,000 years ago. Fulfilling this Matthew 24, verse 12, Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever reads, let him understand. Okay. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now, this all met its fulfillment. The disciples, you know, they were... Peter was crucified, hung upside down. He died. John the Revelator escaped death. He was put in a boiling barrel of water, of oil, and it never fazed him, and so they couldn't kill him, and so they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. So these disciples, and persecution got so bad in Jerusalem that the Christians, what we call Christians today, the believers, they had to flee out of there, fulfilling what I'm just reading to you right here. So he's telling the disciples, he said, you got to go through all of this. And it says, Matthew 24, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Okay. Okay, so now, what happened? What happened after the disciples were killed and they all died and they were gone? Paul was left as the last one, and he was ultimately beheaded in about 66 A.D., about 35 years after Yeshua went back to heaven. Paul was beheaded, the last of the apostles. Okay. So now that fulfilled what Yahshua is telling them. And the rest of them, they had the, and about the time that Paul was beheaded, you had this, the sacking of Jerusalem by Titus. What was his name? That first general that came down in 66 A.D. and sacked Jerusalem. And the believers, the followers of Yahshua, they knew, they had a sign that when you see the general come to take Jerusalem in 66 A.D. and withdraw his army, then that is a sign for all the believers in Jerusalem to flee out and go into all the countries around about Judah and Jerusalem. And so, so that's what happened. This general came down with his army, and he mysteriously just retreated. Yeah, he was going to sack Jerusalem, but the believers were there in Jerusalem, and not a one of them lost their life, because when this general withdrew his armies all of a sudden, then that was a sign for the believers to get out of Jerusalem, and they all left. Not a one lost their life. When Titus came down 3.5 years later and sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple that was there, completely finished it up, and it killed at least 1,200,000 Jews in Jerusalem that day, when Titus came down. But not a believer had lost their life, not a true believer of the Apostolic Nazarene Creed that followed Joshua and the apostles, not one of them lost their life because they knew the sign. And what did Joshua say to those disciples? There in the Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Well, this is one of the signs that they had to have. When you see Jerusalem encompassed about with armies, and they mysteriously withdraw, then you're to flee out of Jerusalem, get out of there. And that's what the believers did in 66 A.D., fulfilling this very thing right here. They knew the sign, what to look for, because they believed the true prophets. They didn't believe these false prophets, they believed the true prophets. Those that believed these false messiahs and false prophets, they stayed in Jerusalem and lost their lives. All of them, including these false prophets, they all lost their lives. So this here, Matthew 24, has a double application. It was fulfilled in the Apostles' day, and it will be fulfilled again here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. All right, let us continue now. So it says in Matthew 24, let's read verse 11 again. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Well, that happened back then. When Yahshua was in Jerusalem at his first coming, the day that they took him to crucify him, Pilate finally delivered him up and said, "Whom shall I deliver unto you?" Pilate said to the people. He asked the people, and they said, "Shall I give you Barabbas, or shall I give you the king of Israel?" And they said, "Give us Barabbas." Well, Barabbas was one of the 12 false prophets in Israel, in Jerusalem that day, and Barabbas was claiming to be the true Messiah, and that Yahshua was a false Messiah. That's what he was preaching. Barabbas was one of 12 people in Jerusalem that day that was claiming to be the Messiah. There's 12 of them, a dozen, to match the 12 apostles number. There's 12 false Messiahs. That's what Yahshua said right there. And Yahshua answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 5, Matthew 24. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many." And that's exactly what happened in Yahshua, right there before their eyes. Now, let's go back. And let's read now verse 12, Matthew 24, 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Because the people allow iniquity to abound all around them, and in the temple, their love began to wax cold. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And this gospel, and I don't like that word gospel, but that's the best word that we can use today to connect up with all what they call Christian believers of all Protestant denominational faith, and so therefore we're going to use this. But gospel is two words put together by the old English translation. God, they took the G-O and they took the D out of God, and they put the S-P-E-L on G-O and made it one word, gospel. But it's actually two words put together, meaning God spelled it out. Spelled out what? He spelled out the plan of salvation through the sanctuary system of the Moses. He spelled it out at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. The day that Adam and Eve sinned, Yahweh spelled out the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant that man had to now use in order to get himself forgiven of sins ever, because once Adam and Eve sinned, that opened up the door for the whole world to be under sin for 6,000 years, and they had to have a plan for those that wanted to get back to have eternal life and get back to heaven, or get back to the Garden of Eden, not to heaven, get back to the Garden of Eden. Now, I've got a tract here in front of me by V.T. Hallam, and it's entitled, Behold, I Make All Things New. And I'm going to get back, after I get through with my series on these Gentiles, I'm going to get back and I'm going to do this a series on Behold, I Make All Things New. And I'll forget what number tract that was. Tract number 9 of V.T. Hallam's tracts that he compiled while he was alive from 1930 to 1955. He was the head of the Shepherd's Rod, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And Brother Johnson, that succeeded the Rod movement in 1970, was a head. I was identified, and I was a member of his congregation for 33 years. And he identified his congregation with the title of the Isaac Branch. Branch is another name for Yeshua the Messiah. And Isaac was a symbol of Yeshua, the son of Abraham. When Abraham offered Isaac up on that mount that day, and that Yahweh commanded him to do this, and when he did this, we know that Yahweh saved Isaac's life, but Abraham was going to follow through with the sacrifice. And Yahweh withheld his hand and said, Abraham saw one of the days of the Son of Man. Whenever he saw that, when Yahshua saved Isaac's life, said, Abraham saw one of the days of the Son of Man. Okay? And that day was when Yahshua was crucified. So Isaac, Abraham's son, typified, was a symbol of the crucifixion of Yahshua. Because Abraham, whenever he was commanded to go to this mountain, a good distance away from his home, to take Isaac with him and take the wood and take the fire and take a couple of servants with you to help carry the wood and so forth. He said, Isaac and Abraham was in a 3-day journey getting to that mountain. So Abraham put everything, the numbers together. He said, 3 days journey. And then when he went to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, he saw one of the days of the Son of Man. And so what did he do? He saw that the Son of Man, Yahshua, in the future would be crucified, and that he would be in the hands of man for 3 days in the heart of the earth, according to Matthew 12:40. All right, as a sign of Jonah. He saw all that. So now, here we have Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, he was telling his apostles here. This is Yeshua talking to his 12 apostles. He said, but he that shall endure. At the time that Yeshua was talking to these 12 apostles, Matthias was the 12th one that had taken Judas's place. Paul had not yet been counted among the 12 apostles until after Yahshua was crucified and went back to heaven. All right. In Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now remember, I told you that what the gospel is two parts of an English word, of two English words. God spelled it out from the law of Moses, and you go to Leviticus 23, and you can see where Yahweh spelled out the plan of salvation, the whole chapter of Leviticus 23 has 44 verses spelling out the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, and that was the words that Paul used here in Hebrews 13 when he described Yahshua's resurrection by the Father. He said in Matthew, Hebrews 13:20, it says that, now the Yahweh of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior, Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So all of your miracles that's ever been performed from the Garden of Eden, starting with the first sacrifice that Adam and Eve had to offer the day that they sinned. They were driven out of the garden on the day they sinned. And Yahweh made them, clothing out of the sheep's skin. So no doubt Yahweh had to have two sheep slain, get their clothing, and he clothed Adam and Eve with that sheepskin, and then they had to take the blood of that animal. Adam and Eve had to take the blood themselves and go offer it for a sacrifice for their sin. Otherwise, they'd had to die that day. Because Yahweh had already told them, the day that you sin, that's the day you die. Well, they sinned that day, but they didn't die. Why? Because Yahweh made a provision for them. He made a way of escape for them. He says, well, I can preserve you alive, but you have to leave the garden, and you have to go at the ninth hour of the day, when the ninth hour strikes, and you got to offer a blood sacrifice of a lamb. And then he said, I will receive that blood, and he commanded his son Yahshua to receive that blood and take it into the first apartment of the sanctuary that was set up at the east gate of paradise. Adam and Eve were on the outside of paradise. They were on the other side of the east gate. But they could come to the east gate, and that's all the further they could get to paradise. Because the sanctuary was then set up in paradise. And the east gate and the east wall of the sanctuary was the border of the east side of Eden. And so Adam and Eve had to bring their sacrifice to the east gate, which was on the east side of Eden, to the tabernacle, the sanctuary. That sanctuary was brought down from heaven and placed in the Garden of Eden that very day that Adam and Eve sinned. Now it says right here, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So the disciples, the 12 apostles, they had an end to their life and their day. And so they were told, Yahshua told them, but they said, if you endure all of these things, even to death, then he said, they said, you shall be saved. In other words, you'll be resurrected in the last days, and you'll be saved to have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. That is going to be set up in these last days. And you can go meet there. You can read, matter of fact, you can read Matthew 8:11 to confirm that. And of course it says, many are going to come from the east and the west. Now saying to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So, in the last days, the apostles are going to be resurrected. And they're going to see that kingdom restored already. That kingdom that they'd asked Yahshua there in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, he said, and Master, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But He did tell him there in Matthew, already told him Matthew 8:11. He already told him earlier, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's the kingdom here of heaven restored here on earth by Yeshua in the last day. But they didn't see that. They just probably understood that to be when we were resurrected and taken to heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. They did not connect that up with the restoring the kingdom here on earth. But Yeshua had been told him these things. And another place he told him, he says, I have many other things to tell you, but you cannot bear them because you're hard, you're dull of hearing. He said, I have many more things to tell you. Well, he'd already told them so many things already, and they didn't remember. So in Matthew 24, he says in verse 14, and this gospel the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant that I read to you there in Hebrews 13:20, that Yahweh the Father raised his Son up by his the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant there in Hebrews 13:20. He's going to also raise up all of the righteous that are in their graves since the Garden of Eden in the last days, in these last days. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, you get that? And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay. So now, those that are reading this, they are commanded to understand what they're reading. And the question is, when someone reads this verse and they don't understand it, what are they to do? They're to get right down there on their knees and ask Heavenly Father, said, I don't understand this verse. But he says, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then it says, verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So now once you get the understanding of the sign of what constitutes the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and it says the prophet, comma, stand in the holy place. Well, that word stand should be standing in the holy place, a present tense verb, instead of a past tense adverb. You have a present tense verb showing you that whatever time frame that it fits in, that's when you are to understand. And so for all of those that are planning on entering into the great kingdom of heaven when it comes finally down to earth, they're going to have to understand this prophecy of this abomination, this of desolation that maketh desolate. Because it says that this plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Leviticus 23, spelled out in the law of Moses, has to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And then it says, then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains. Well, they were a remnant back in 70 A.D. when Titus came down and sacked the temple and destroyed all the Jews in Jerusalem Every last one. Over, they said a million, 200,000 up to 1.5 million to 1,800,000. Nearly 2 million Jews were destroyed that day in Jerusalem. But those that understood the signs and understood what constituted the abomination that maketh desolate, and what constituted the abomination that maketh desolate was those priests, those Pharisees and Sadducees back then that were defiling the temple by their presence, going into the temple and doing trafficking on the holy days, selling indulgences like the Catholic Church copied after and are doing today. That's where the Catholic Church got their example. It was from the Pharisees selling indulgences in the temple on the holy days. That were correct. The holy days were correct. They were marked out by the law of Moses, spelled out in Leviticus 23, but nevertheless, they were selling indulgences to people and poor people, and if they couldn't afford it, then they didn't get their sins taken care of if they couldn't afford to buy those indulgences from those Pharisees. Okay. So there you have it. That's your abomination that made the temple desolate in 70 A.D. That's what caused Yahweh to send Titus down there, a Gentile. Titus was a Gentile. There you are. There's your Gentiles out there. And he sacked Jerusalem because of the abomination that made it desolate. That's what made Jerusalem desolate. Yahweh had to have it destroyed because of the defilement by those Pharisees, Sadducees, and so forth, and the scribes of the law that was ruling the temple at that time with the authority of the Romans army. Okay. Now it says here, there in verse 17, Matthew 24, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And warn of them that are with child and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, unto this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days it should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what we just read right there. So, back then, when they fled out of Jerusalem, when did they flee? When did they flee out? They started fleeing out at the Passover of 66 A.D. when that first general, I think his name was, I want to say, I used to name that name, and I need to go look it up. Oh, I'll look it up later. It says, when he came down in 66 A.D., then with suddenly, mysteriously withdrew his army. That was a sign for the what we call the Christians, the believers of the plan of salvation of the gospel. That's when that sign was to flee out. And so that sign, and that was at the Passover of 66 A.D. is when they started their fleeing out. Did you know they had a 3.5-year period for all of the believers in Jerusalem and Judea and the surrounding Samaria and the Gaza, all in the Judean country? That's Samaria and Galilee. That's your hill countries of Judea, Gaza. And they had 3.5-year period, a window of time, to get cleaned out of the land of Israel. Or at least around Jerusalem. And so they fled into the outlying country, the believers. And then when Titus came down in 70 A.D., 3.5 years after the first siege, all the believers had safely gotten out of Jerusalem, and there was not a believer of the Nazarene gospel that lost their lives. So this is this right here says in verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And so, see, it says Judea, the hill countries of Judea around Jerusalem, all the way to Galilee, clear to Samaria. Okay, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. In other words, you're on the housetop, whenever you get the call, unless it's time to flee out of here, then you just bounce yourself off top of that house and you just flee with the crowd. Don't you even go in your house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. In other words, if you're out in the field working, then you don't even head toward your house. When you see that fleeing group of people coming by, you just go join them. Just go join them. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Why is woe unto them? Because it's going to be slow traveling for them. They will get help, no doubt, but they will have a hardship fleeing. But if they choose to flee, they will get help from their friends to help them carry their baby and so forth. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So just pray that when that time comes, that you're not going to be put upon on the Sabbath day, the day that you're the rest day to keep holy, neither in the winter time. Well, the thing is, the key right here is that you're in the field. You're in the field. And if you're in the field working, you're not going to be working in the field in the winter time. So, as I said, let it be happen. And that's the reason why Passover was a good time to start fleeing, because it's in the early spring and so forth. For then it shall be great tribulation, Matthew 24:21. Such as was not since the beginning of the world, unto this time. No, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What days? Those days of following the sign and fleeing out of Jerusalem. That 3.5-year period to have, and that's why he gave them a 3.5-year period. He could have extended that along for many, many, many years. But Yahweh says, no, I'm going to shorten that period of time for you to escape. If you get, 3.5 years will give you enough time for all the believers to escape. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Messiah, or there, believe it not. Then after you have escaped and fled out, and you're delivered unto the place where Yahweh, a place of safety, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Messiah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets. Okay, after those have fled out, now all those have fled out, remember whenever they fled out of Egypt in 1500 BC with Moses and the blood on the doorpost that night, the death angel passed over, and those that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, all the firstborn of Egypt were slain, carried down to the cattle. And so, there's a lot of Egyptians that escaped with the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Why? Because they got in behind the doorpost where the blood was on the doorpost of the Israelites' house. They were servants to the Israelites, and so they believed them, and they was also in behind the doors that had the blood on the doorpost. And so they were delivered too, but they were not believers in the Jewish faith. They were just Egyptians wanting to escape with their masters out of the bondage under Pharaoh, period. But when they got out into the wilderness, those Egyptians, they led in the rebellion against the Israelites and the truth that they were following. And so there arose many false prophets among them out there in the wilderness. Well, this was the time. This happened again after 70 A.D. It says, after those that escaped, it says, for there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, the very elect today would be the 144,000 that comes out of the house of Israel as the first fruits harvest. Okay? And it says, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven unto the other. Now that's right here on earth. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Fig tree represents the house of Israel. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Yeshua, Master, doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and watched the thief had come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So anyway, it goes on to say, as we bring the sermon to a close, in verse 48, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, because he said the wise one, he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant, there in verse 45, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. See, he's already by the Spirit has appointed a ruler over his household, even before Yahshua comes back. It says so there in Luke 19:14. Okay? So it says in Matthew 24:46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. As we earlier stated, that servant is antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. This brings the close of our study. This is our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Okay, this is a song that I've written entitled, come to the banquet and dine.
Come, everyone, to the banquet and dine.